Why do bad things happen to good people? This is a question that has puzzled people from the beginning of human existence. And there's a strong religious tradition that says good people are blessed by God and bad people are cursed and suffer. This tradition is found in the Old Testament book, particularly in Deuteronomy. And the reverse theology is often applied. If you are prosperous, God is blessing you. But if you are suffering and struggling, you must have done something bad. The book of Job tackles this question. The writer of the book took an ancient story and added a long theological conversation about the possible causes of suffering. The book opens and closes with the ancient story. We heard the closing, but in the opening scene, Satan and the heavenly beings have an audience with God. They've been out touring around the earth, and God says, "Did you see my servant Job? He's the best. He is blameless and he's an upright man. He fears God and he turns away from evil." And Satan says, "Oh, that is because he has it so good. He has prospered and he's grown rich. Let's see what would happen to him if it was all taken away from him." And so the scene is set for the rest of the book. God says, "Okay, then test him." So off goes Satan, and Job's world falls apart. All that he has goes from him, and he suffers much. So in the dialogues that follow, Job's friends try to convince him that he has done something wrong. If all these troubles have come upon him, it must be a punishment for doing something wrong. Because they believe that's the way the world works. That's the way life happens. If you do something wrong, you get punished for it. That was their theology. Good people prosper, bad people suffer. So they told Job that he must be bad because he was suffering as he was. But through it all, Job maintains his innocence and he maintains his faith in God. He's not buying into this particular theology. But Job feels crushed by God. As we all know, if real difficulties come upon us, it's very hard to cope. Job wants his day in God's court to prove his innocence. He wants God to front up and he wants to put his case before God because he believes he's innocent. But God is nowhere to be found. God doesn't turn up for him. God doesn't appear to hear Job's case. There's no one, it seems, to plead for Job with God. God isn't even there to be pleaded to. So in despair, Job wants to disappear into the darkness. And that's, if you like, the lowest point of the book. That's the lowest point of where Job is at. The book of Job gives us permission to question the simple answers to complex questions. When we know deep down that there are no answers, you can hear many opinions, but there are many issues in life that we struggle with where we don't really have an answer. We can question God, we can plead for a hearing. It's okay if we trust in God. God is there and God can take it. If we really want to plead or we really want to cry out to God, God can take it. God loves us and God can take however we're feeling. In fact, sometimes it's only God. It's always good to share our struggles with others, but sometimes there are deep struggles that we can only share with God, and God is there for that. Job was able to plead with God because he had faith in God. That was the bottom line. But like Job, we may not get an answer. We may have to sit for a while in a very dark place with no answer. That's what Job had to do. That's what the book tells us. Sometimes we don't get an answer from God, the answer that we want. So throughout his ordeal, however, Job did not lose his faith in God, and neither should we. As I said, that's the bottom line. That's the foundation of our life, believing, faith in God, which should not depend on whether we get what we want, whether we get our questions answered. Faith that God is there for us. So the book concludes with God saying, "None of you knows God's perspective on life. How can you? God is beyond human understanding." And that's his response to Job, and really to his friends as well. And Job, as we heard read just now, Job acknowledges this. He repents in dust and ashes, not because he had done something wrong that he was being punished for, but because he attempted to know the mind of God. He went beyond his human understanding. Fair enough, sometimes we want to know things that we can never know. Job says, "I recognize that I am not God. I do not know the mind of God. I repent before God." And as we heard, the end of the story is Job's good fortune is restored to him twofold. He lives a long and happy life. Interesting, last night I was at 30 Mowboy's house, because it's 40 days since Sammy Mowboy, the patriarch of the Mowboy family here in Darwin, died. Some of you know, probably know of Sammy. And Ferdy was saying, because this is the reading for today, he said for Sammy, it was like Job. It's amazing, when he had a pretty tough life in West Timor, where he came from. He came to Darwin in 1972, and he lived in the long grass because somebody's friend, "Oh, you need to go to Darwin, there's jobs there." So he had a real struggle until the cyclone came and he got a job, because they were looking for people, and as they say, the rest is history. The Mowboy family is a significant family, one particular one who we hear often and see in movies, etc. Jessica, his granddaughter, a marvellous story. So even though at one point Sammy was like Job at a very low point in his life, God restored his fortunes and restored him generations. A great story, a great illustration of how patience, because Sammy was someone who trusted in God even through the low times, and his patience paid off in the long run, as did Job's. So although we may long for answers to God's complex questions, there are none. We are not God. We must live with the unknowns and the uncertainties of human existence. But we're not alone as we do this. And this is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the story of Job and our story. The letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament explains how Jesus replaced the old system of priests that represented the people before God. Job didn't find an advocate for himself before God, but the Hebrews had developed a system of priests and rituals that enabled people to be forgiven of their sins and put right with God. The priests were the advocates for the people before God. But as we read in the New Testament, the good news that God is on our side, and that is why Jesus came. Unlike in Job's story, God is not hidden and inaccessible. Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. The purpose of Jesus' coming was to connect us with God so we need not never feel abandoned by God. The writer to the Hebrew explains that unlike the old system of human priests, who of course were human, died, Jesus is the high priest forever, because he died but he rose again to be high priest forever. So there was no longer any need for human intercessors between us and God in the old priestly system. Jesus is the high priest forever. He is the one who sits at God's right hand and pleads for us. Jesus is the go-between, the high priest interceding with the Father on our behalf. Jesus is our advocate with God, no matter what our circumstances. So unlike the view of God that we read in the book of Job, God is not remote and unconnected from the plight of people in this life. God is the healer, the one who restores people to the fullness of life. Mark records many stories of Jesus the healer. Today we hear about blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is concerned with the suffering of this poor man. Others wanted to dismiss him and take no notice of him. You know, be quiet. Stop. Jesus is too busy for you. No, that wasn't Jesus' approach. Perhaps like Job's friends, Bartimaeus' friends had tried to convince him that he deserved the sufferings that he was enduring. But Jesus did not judge him. Jesus healed him. Jesus commended him for his faith. His faith in Jesus was a vital factor in his healing. But again, that can't be reversed to say that if anyone is not healed, they do not have faith, or they do not have enough faith, as some people would want to say. God remains sovereign over all things. And like Job, we cannot know the mind of God. True, God heals some, but we know others struggle, die in pain. What is the answer? We do not know. What we do know is that faith in God is rewarded, as it is in the story of Job, as it is, we're promised through the New Testament. Like Job, we need to have faith in God no matter what our circumstances are. But unlike Job, we have Jesus as our advocate and guide. Thanks be to God. Amen.